Well, a good Tuesday afternoon, Saskatchewan. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. As you just heard in the news, we'll be keeping an eye on maybe some severe weather this afternoon with some special weather statements, again, from Environment Canada. We're going to go to Boston, Massachusetts in just a minute.
Are we shipping off to Boston?
We're shipping off to Boston. That's where we find provincial news director Sarah Mills and her father as England takes on Ghana at the World Cup. And, of course, we have a lot to discuss when it comes to Locker's Oilers.
Whoosh.
And that's where we're going to begin with the starting lineup. Mike Babcock is officially the new head coach of the Edmonton Oilers.
Today is kind of like it was in 2002 when I joined Anaheim. You're joining the best league in the world, and you have a feeling of gratitude. You're grateful. I mean, it's an unbelievable place. I'm a Western Canada guy. The Oil has the fans like nobody, so it's a special, special thing.
So, what happened in Columbus?
It was very evident before the year started. I hadn't benched anybody. I hadn't talked to anybody. I hadn't sat anybody out. And it was evident that we weren't together as a staff right from the get-go. My wife gave me a call, and she said, it's time to get out of there. I had been retired. I was pretty good at it. I got back to being retired.
So there's Mike Babcock. There's no apologies to any players of his past. You're expecting an apologetic, regretful Mike Babcock. You didn't get it. It was a very, as he is, a very straightforward and honest Mike Babcock. And it's going to be interesting, Locker, on this situation. Because throughout the news conference, Dan Bowman talked about it. Mike Babcock talked about it. That it was Leon, Zach Hyman, and the biggest guy in the room, Connor McDavid, who said, after a four-hour meeting, we want honesty. We want the truth. We want to play a different style of game. And Mike Babcock said, okay, this is actually how he said it.
I was very clear to them, unless you're 100% all in on Mike Babcock, I have no interest in being the coach.
And they said, we're all in, coach. So Mike Babcock is the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, hasn't coached a game since 2019. And, of course, is 13th among all-time winningest coaches in NHL history. He's the 10th coach in the last 15 years for Edmonton. Will it work? Will it work? That is the question. Locker, what do you think?
I don't think this has anything to do with Mike Babcock. This has everything to do with the guys in the room. If they buy in, it'll work. If there's any pushback or any hurt feelings, it's going to be a nightmare. Who were we talking to last week that was like, I don't know how much you can expect a man of his age to change his stripes. It just, you heard it. He doesn't think he was wrong. Does that mean he maybe over the years has adjusted, you know, how he handles things? Probably, but he's Mike Babcock. He calls himself Mike Babcock. He doesn't think he was wrong.
And what he talked about was alignment. He didn't have it in Columbus, but yeah, he has it in Edmonton. The players want me here. They want the Mike Babcock that I said I'm going to be and held them up. And it's interesting he talked about Steve Yzerman. He referenced Steve Yzerman. He scored a lot of points. And then Scotty Bowman showed up. And he scored less points, but won more Stanley Cups. And that's what Draisaitl and McDavid want. They don't need the Art Rosses and the Rocket Richard trophies anymore. They want the big one. And play away from the puck also came out of his mouth. There it is, right there. That's what the Oilers are about to get. I am so interested on this, Locker, on what this team looks like with Mike Babcock steering the ship.
I know this is not something that's going to happen, but I would love to see a documentary of his first year in Edmonton. They should be rolling cameras.
I want the four-hour tape of the meeting with Dreisaitl, McDavid, and Hyman. That's what I'm looking forward to. But, hey, the leaders lead, and that'll be interesting to see. Babcock was also asked about a lot of concern about the younger guys are going to get it from you more. And he's like, you kidding me? I'm a lot tougher on the big dogs than I am our depth players. So look out, Dreisaitl and McDavid. You asked for this.
All right, the other big news, Brady Tkachuk speaking for the first time since his trade.
It was an eventful day. We had Millie's baptism in the morning. We had Father's Day brunch, and I was just told things are happening fast, so just be on your phone. So we were doing family pictures before. I was off my phone for 5 minutes. And our grandpa's standing out there. We're in the middle of our family pictures, like, huh, this is interesting. We have, you know, Emily Kaplan and Pierre LeBrun just said, Brady, you just got traded to Florida, so...
By the way, if you believe anything out of that man's mouth, I have got a bridge for you to buy. Yeah, I don't care what he says on his podcast. I don't care what he says on Pat McAfee's show. He knew this whole thing was planned ahead of time. My grandfather told me during a family picnic. Shut up. Here's what you need to know. Canada is now Tkachuk-less. We should be celebrating. This should be a day that we celebrate annually. I don't know, have cake, hot dogs, sparklers.
Whoa, did you say cake?
We want cake?
I'm in.
Okay, let's have a cake day. Tkachuks are no longer in Canada. The whole family.
Well, they're going to be here for the Hall of Fame dinner, I assume.
Are you sure?
The speeches.
Are you sure? Because it made it sound like it was, like, treacherous coming north of the... Anyway, we can move on.
Let's go to the NBA. A blockbuster deal sends Giannis to South Beach.
Antetokounmpo, the offensive rebound. Putback is good. Holiday inside. Antetokounmpo. Tucker grabs it. Back to Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo draws the foul. Banks it home.
Yes, Giannis Antetokounmpo is off to Miami. The Milwaukee Bucks trade he and Bobby Portis for Tyler Hero, Khalil Ware, Jaime Jaquez.
Jaquez?
Almost got there.
Okay, all right.
Three first-round picks.
Write that down.
Three first-round picks. Tonight's number 13 overall NBA pick swap as well in the first round and a second rounder. So, yeah, it's a lot for Giannis Antetokounmpo and Bobby Portis.
That's awesome. Okay, golf. PGA Tour announces major changes coming in the next couple of years.
Everyone, over the past 8 months, the Future Competitions Committee has spent a lot of time on a very important fundamental question. How do we build the strongest possible version of the PGA Tour?
That was Tiger. Rory has also hinted at this. So in 2028, the PGA Tour will be split in half with a championship series and a challenger series. There will be approximately 130 players on the championship series competing in 23 or 24 events throughout the year. That includes major championships, the Players' Championship, the Ryder Cup, the President's Cup, along with some long-standing events and potentially some new events. They're focusing in on Boston and New York. Each season, at least 90 players will keep their championship series designation, while at least 20 will move up from the Challenger Series. I actually kind of like this the more I look into this. The season will culminate with a new-look Tour Championship featuring match play format. The Tour Championship will also rotate among a series of prestigious venues, some of which have been hosted. I've never hosted a tour event.
I'm like, is that Augusta? Because Augusta's never hosted a tour event.
That's interesting. TSN's Bob Weeks is reporting that the Canadian Open will be among, and we kind of already had a heads up on this, the championship series events starting in 2028.
And coming up next here on the Green Zone, the World Cup. England's in action right now against Ghana. And guess who's there? Our very own Sarah Mills.
Never known anything like this in my life. There have to be, I don't know, 100 people to every Ghanaian person, but the atmosphere is incredible.
Sarah Mills joins us from Boston at the World Cup next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with the year of the Green Zone. England is underway against Ghana. And before she made her way into a stadium, a World Cup stadium for the first time in her life, I think Sarah Mills is a little excited about the soccer match today.
I'm here. Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
You're there. You're at the stadium. You're ready to go. What's it like, Sarah? You're at an English World Cup game with your dad.
I've never known anything like this in my life. I have to be, I don't know, 100 people to every Garnon person, but the atmosphere is incredible. Everyone's high-fiving. Everyone is fist-bumping the Garnon. We've learned their chants. We've learned their anthem. It is the most incredible thing I've ever experienced in my life. You can hear them. Like, and they're playing football between bars. There's a football that is being kicked between bars. And I thought it would be a little, I don't know, I thought it'd be intimidating. I thought it would be the hooliganism of the 80s I knew from my childhood. But it's not. There's kids here. I think of your son, Jamie, and what he would experience coming to a place like this. I've never known anything like it in my life.
How are English fans handling themselves ahead of a key match that might put them top of the table and into the knockout round?
There's, like I said, they're kicking balls. Everyone's high-fiving. There's little kids, and no one wants to swear in front of little kids. And occasionally, because obviously people bought tickets for games they didn't know what was going to be a game. They didn't know they'd watch an England game. So they're wearing Germany. I high-fived the German fan. What is wrong with me?
Oh, that's wild.
I did scowl at an Argentinian fan because I will never not scowl at an Argentinian fan. But the there's a rooftop bar here, and there is every England fan, but they've got Stoke United. And there was someone wearing Scunthorpe United, which is my dad's hometown team. And they met, and they high-fived, and they bought each other a beer. It's an atmosphere that I have never known. This is not like Premier League when you go to Arsenal v Chelsea. There's decades and seasons. It's like the Bombers and the Riders playing together. This isn't like this. It's amazing. They just, that cheer was because they just kept the ball up for 10 minutes. It's amazing. Like, I just, to share this moment with my dad, to be the excitement, to have, we flew from Calgary, so we went Regina to Calgary, Calgary to Boston, and there were half a dozen England fans that had flown in to Calgary to go to the game. So you're high-fiving each other, you're sharing stories of what it was like when England lost on penalties in 1990, and where were you when England did this? It's just, it's hilarious. It shared history, it shared memories, it's incredible. And, you know, wherever you go in the world, whether it be Disneyland, you see a Ryder fan. I haven't seen one once. But we have met two people from Saskatoon, and they didn't have tickets, but they were watching in Boston.
Well, Sarah, before we let you go, because you're getting into the stadium, this was before the match, I need to know, you or your dad, who's going to be the most likely to end up as the distraught or very excited English fan on TSN today?
I'm trying to get both of us on there. My dad is being cool, Northern English, very whatever. I've been here before. This means nothing. I'm not going to lie. I've already cried twice because I'm having this experience with my dad. I've cried twice, and I'm a loser. I'm sorry.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Can I just tell you, they just kicked the ball onto the roof of the restaurant. I'm sorry, Jamie.
That's all right. That's all right, Sarah. Okay, we'll talk to you after the match.
Okay, we can't wait.
That is Sarah Mills just before she went in. And it's 0-0 right now in the hydration break for England against Ghana. That's a special moment, her and her dad sharing in Boston together, watching an English World Cup game. Won their first one in a draw right now early against Ghana. Working man. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Our NHL analyst, Drew Remendez, coming up to talk about the news of the day in the National Hockey League, well, the news of the week in the National Hockey League, from Brady Tkachuk trade to the Hall of Fame announcement to Mike Babcock being named the new head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. Of course, Drew will tell you his opinion of Mike Babcock will not be an unbiased one. He and Mike go back a long ways together. So we'll get Drew's perspective on when Mike Babcock says they're going to get honesty, they're going to get truth, and they're going to get Mike Babcock for then they want me. He said McDavid and them want him.
Yeah.
What exactly does that mean for the Edmonton Oilers on what they get from Mike Babcock? Drew Remenda will be joining us just past 3:05. Well, I can guarantee you a lot less controversial hire here in Regina for the new head coach of the hockey team, the Regina Pats, and our next guest, David Bell.
Do we know for sure, though, David?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, David, thanks for your time. I don't think I have to ask you about going through players' phones,
yeah,
thankfully.
Can we see your phone, yeah, David?
Thanks for that intro like that. That's excellent. Yeah, that's good. No phone. No phone inspections from this end.
Well, David, you come to Regina, and usually I go back and say, like, where's the connection between the GM and the head coach? Usually it's pretty like open of where the connection is. I was having Mike Stothers coached in Moose Jaw. You know him well, but what was the connection with Dale Durkach?
You know what? There wasn't really a huge connection. Maybe 18 years ago, and I said this to him in our first conversation we had, I was in Wilcox at Notre Dame at a Hockey Canada event with him, and we met briefly there. Might have had a chocolate milk or two there with him, but other than that, it was just through the true interview process. There's people that have worked here before, Bob Strum and guys like that I've worked with in Ottawa, and Don Boyd, and they just put us together, and we just started having conversations, and it clicked.
David, I'm curious if you've had a chance yet. I know this is very early, but have you had a chance to at least meet Maddox Schultz and Liam Pugh, two players that there's going to be a ton of conversation about, and it's just going to continue to steamroll?
I had lunch with Maddox today, actually. I just got back to the arena here, and I had lunch with him today, and it was a great conversation. It was a very, very impressive young man. Got back in the car with Dale and told him that he lied to me, that because I know he's at least 25 years old. He's not the age that everybody says he is.
That's what we thought, too, when we've interviewed him. David, it's insane. He just handles himself so well.
Oh, he had a great conversation. He's 185 pounds, muscles sticking out everywhere, and it's just a very, very impressive young man.
So when it comes to Schultz and Pugh, I know it can't be all about them, but they begin their junior career now full-time. It's got to be exciting for you, but it's also a little bit challenging with that NCAA cloud hanging over young players coming into the Canadian Hockey League right now. So how do you balance the excitement and also the challenge that the window might be short here with those two?
Just open dialogue and a lot of it with him, with his agent, with his family. You know, just talking to them what they need, what they want. And again, it's always about the team first. But, you know, I go back to players like I say Porter Marteau because he's the most recent one. You know, why did he leave the Ontario Hockey League and go NCAA? And his reason was he wanted to gain weight. Well, I got to make a plan, and we're going to make a plan that we can eliminate that excuse or that reason for any of our players, those two included, to leave to go into AA. Well, let's figure out a plan that you can gain 12 pounds in Regina. So it's just a matter of having open dialogue and them knowing our plan for them and them agreeing and executing the plan.
One of the things that comes up when you're talking to anybody that is coaching young players now is just, and it must be, I don't know if it's annoying, but it must be something that you're dealing with, David, just that kids are different, right? You have to treat them differently. I'm curious if you've had to adjust how you have coached, because this isn't your first walk in the park. You've been doing this a while. Have you adjusted your approach to the game? And is it because of the players coming up?
Oh, 100%. I don't think you could coach in the league anymore Well, I'm year 22, I believe, and if I coached the way I did in year one, I'd last, I could make a joke there, but I know I should, bad timing with that hire today. I wouldn't last very long. No, you got to be more open to them and understanding, and they're of the era of instant gratification and instant information and why and how does it affect me and what am I getting out of this, and they're all fair, and I have a 14-year-old son that's in athletics, and the conversations I have with him, and you know, you just got to give them. Sometimes they don't understand why, but you got to give them the why and let them dissect it, and they come back with more questions, and as long as you keep giving them answers, hopefully they'll figure it out. And sometimes they don't figure it out for a week or a month, and then they come back to you and say, oh, I understand why we did that. And that's the satisfying and gratifying things when you see the light switch go off on a young guy that you're trying to teach him something, and they finally figure out, oh, that's why we did it that way. Okay, and that's a really cool part of coaching, when you see that light bulb flip.
David Bell joining us. He's the new head coach of the Regina Pats, coming in from, of course, the Belleville Senators, the AHL affiliate of the Ottawa Senators, before that in the Ontario Hockey League. What intrigues you most about coming out here to the Prairies, David?
Just it's a new challenge for me. Like you said, I've been around a little while. I've never been out here and coached in this league, and it's a new challenge. And when I talked with Dale and I talked with Mr. Semple, just the excitement about where the organization's headed, what's on the horizon with everything, with your roster, with the team, with the building, with the franchise, just bigger and better things. And the expectations are extremely high, which is something I relish and want to be a part of, and I want that pressure. So it's just, there's a lot of buzz with anybody I talk to during the process about the buzz around the franchise right now, just everything about the franchise. And obviously it starts with the team on the ice, but more than that, just the community and what they're doing, and it's a really exciting time.
David, when you hear teams that have won something, there's always a conversation. It almost comes up first, especially in hockey. It was this locker room. It was the guys. It was the culture. How important is it for you, or do you have to let the guys in the room develop that culture?
Well, it's a little bit of both, but again, that is the most important thing, I truly do believe. And in my conversations with Dale during the process, he understands and we believe in the same thing. So he's started to build and form the roster with that top of mind of character and culture. And I think, you know, you need to let them experiment. You need to let them fail. But I think sometimes you need to guide them and push them in the right direction, because they are kids. And, you know, being around as long as I have, you've seen stuff that works. You see stuff that you can let go and let them fail. And you can see stuff, let them do stuff that might bring them closer together and put them in tough spots or awkward situations, uncomfortable situations as groups on and off the ice, and see who rises, who fades, and, you know, make your evaluations in those situations. But I don't think in the junior level they're quite at the maturity level yet to just say, hey, it's your room. At some point you do, but I think there's a lot of teaching and guiding before you're comfortable to give them the wheel.
Bowling nights?
Oh, there'll be bowling nights. There'll be all kinds of nights.
David, how drastically different is coaching pro to coaching junior? You've done both.
Oh, you know what, guys? It's not that big of a difference. I think it's in the details. I think you have to, you do a lot of teaching in the American League too, but the teaching is more finite teaching. They're more of a finished product in the American League, but they're not a finished product yet. They're never a finished product, but here they're still, they're just that much less of a finished product than they are when they get to the American League. So there's key things of details are not quite as sharp at this level. But I think the sneaky biggest one is role identity and work ethic. And that sounds very simplistic, but, you know, you think you're working hard when you're 17 years old because that's all you know. But all of a sudden you go up against a man that's got a mortgage and a car payment and a child payment and an alimony payment. That guy's going to outwork you 9 times out of 10 because he has to.
Alimony.
It'll happen.
You know, it'll happen. It happens. 50% chance, they say. But anyway, yeah. You know, that's real. That's work. So, you know, to get these guys a head start, so when they start their pro career, if they're fortunate enough to teach them that work ethic and to push them out of that comfort zone and push them to a real uncomfortable spot in physical situations that they have to do if they want to go pro.
David, one of the conversations that we've had quite a bit is just with the changes in the NCAA and the rules and things like that, and how it's impacting the WHL and the CHL as a whole. But I'm curious about how it's impacted your sort of process revolving around recruitment, if at all.
Oh, it has. It has. I mean, and that's more, you know, everything's collaborative, but Dale having conversations with the parents, with the agents, what their long-term goal is, what their academics look like, you know, even what their family situation looks like, their dynamics of their family, where they want to live, where, you know, how important post-secondary is to them. That all comes into play, but it is. It's a new landscape for everybody. Like, a guy could say it, but then somebody waves $100,000 under your nose of NIL money, you're probably going to have another conversation with your family. So it's all new for us in the Canadian Hockey League, and it's probably going to change multiple times over the next year or two until everybody gets it ironed out. But I just go back to having honest, open conversations with the player, with the family, with the agency, and if they believe and agree and trust in what our plan is and we execute the plan, then you just have to trust that they're going to stick with you and have some loyalty that we saw in that player and that family and their character in the first place to select them.
Well, I guess we should ask, what should Regina Pat fans expect from a David Bell hockey team coming up this fall?
I've been asked that, and I think it's going to be tenacious. It's going to be very high-paced fight, high energetic. I don't want to – not a counter-puncher. I'm a puncher. We're going to be the first to initiate an act. We're going to be very aggressive and be fast and play with our skill. I encourage skill a lot, but I also encourage hard to play against. So you can be both. We're going to be very hard to play against when we have the puck, and we're going to be even harder to play against when we don't have the puck.
So I've bounced this off of Dale a couple of times. I think he thinks I'm kidding. But again, since you mentioned collaborative, free beer nights. Just throwing it out there as an idea, Dave.
Free beer? Well, I don't. That might not even be Dale's category, but yeah, I'll bring it
it's
up.
It's worth talking about, right?
I'll be honest. I wouldn't bring it up to Sean Semple. I don't think that's going to fly, David.
I will.
Maybe if you get them, if we score, maybe mix it in like with the Riders. If we score more than a touchdown and a field goal, that there's half price beer, something like that. Yeah, we could.
David, I like where you're. This is good. This is good. No bad ideas when you're brainstorming.
Yeah, we're workshopping this. That's good to know. Well, David, enjoyable conversation. Welcome to Saskatchewan and Regina. Excited to see. And I know the Pat fans are excited to see what's coming up with full-time Maddox Schultz and Liam Pugh on the ice this fall.
Good luck with the bowling nights.
Perfect. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
That is David Bell, the new head coach of the Regina Pats here on the Green Zone. That was announced yesterday. Coming up next, a historic day in baseball. We'll remember it on 980 CJME and 650 CKLM.
Bridge Farm remembers.
On this day in sports history, it was June 23rd. The year was 2003.
Bonds going, and he steals it without a throw, and that's number 500. Bonds uproots the base, the first man in the history of the game to have that rather unique double of 500 steals and 500-plus home runs.
Yes, he is, and he still is the only player to have 500 home runs and 500 the stolen bases.
Because he cheated.
He didn't cheat.
Okay.
Major League Baseball let him use steroids, else they would have suspended him. They just didn't allow him to go into the Hall of Fame. Well, that was the voters. Meanwhile, Shohei Ohtani update. How old is he? 31. He's got nearly 300 home runs and 171 stolen bases. Don't know if he'll get there. 500 is quite something.
Is anybody close?
For Barry Bonds. I don't
think so. I don't think so.